Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Andrew Bennett from 3D Wines. How are you, Andrew?
Good afternoon, or good evening, yes. Delighted to be here. Thank you, Chris.
Excellent. We're actually in the Army Navy in London.
Yeah, it's called The Rag, apparently.
The Rag,
on Pall Mall, yeah. The Army Navy Club in Pall Mall, and very nice place it is, too.
It does look very, not salacious,
salubrious. Well, the salacious bit's downstairs. we'll get there later, when we've done a tasting.
Yeah, you're about to do a wine tasting, but...
We are, yeah.
Before we get into all that sort of stuff, just, 2,000 feet, three words almost, what is 3D Wines?
Well, good question. We like to say 3D, the three dimensions of people, place, and wine. So we're like a wine club, and you can get fully immersed, literally, in what we do. So you can buy lovely wine from us, made exclusively for our members. You can go and visit the vineyard and meet the winemaker, see how the wine is made, why it tastes like it does. And you can take part in lots of our vinous events as well. We do events throughout France during the summer, mostly, and also in Tuscany as well. We have a few vineyards we work with in Tuscany.
Lovely, lovely. And you also, people can buy Rosa vineyards and all that.
That's right. So it started out 25 years ago. So this is our 25th year in business.
Yeah.
So we're going to party this year. And initially it was to join this 3D club, you could do it by renting a row of vines in a vineyard in France. And it started out with a vineyard in Saumur-Champigny. In the Loire Valley, Domaine de la Coume. We're going to be tasting their wine tonight, the Saumur-Champigny. And so it's an interesting gift for somebody, if you for a wife or a girlfriend or a partner, something really different. You could rent a row of vines in this lovely vineyard in Saumur-Champigny, and you could go and meet the winemakers and go and collect your wine that you buy as part of this vine rental, if you like.
Yeah.
And you could have up to four cases of wine per row of vines. And that's how it first started out in 1992.
Did you start the business?
Or? No, I didn't. It was started by someone called David Dickinson, and the real meaning of 3D is, and his business partner was Charles Duncan. So Duncan, Dickinson and Daughters. So we've evolved it over time. Now David and Charles retired 5 years ago and gave my business partner Sally and I, Sally, Rudy and I, the opportunity to buy the company. And with a bit of help from friends and family and getting the old piggy bank in the corner, we managed to buy the company, and they've retired. So we kind of changed and evolved it a little bit, and we brought in New Zealand. I mean, we're French specialists. We work with 35 vineyards throughout France, but we've also introduced some from New Zealand and some from Tuscany as well to sort of evolve.
Okay. And yourself, you were working for 3D Wines when the business came up.
So sale. I joined in 2007 as a wine buyer.
Okay. And what's your background before that?
I'm actually an engineer by...
Oh, cool. So am I.
Yeah, right. There you go. Mechanical.
I'm electrical. So.
Ah, there you go. Well, electrical, I never understood electrical. Yeah, all right. Wires and things blow up. But no, mechanical engineering at University of Hertfordshire many moons ago. But I worked for a high-tech company in Cambridge.
Forge?
Well, it was in inkjet and laser technology.
Oh, yeah.
But for industry, not the office printers. So I did that 15 years. And then I took a total about turn and went into the food and wine industry. And I bought a pub in Lincoln, just outside of Lincoln, which was very wine themed, French, Italian, bit of English, classical, that sort of thing. But we made it into a really wine themed pub, and it won Wine Pub of the Year in 2005. So it's big on wine. We had a massive wine list, too big to manage, to be truthful, and 25 wines by the glass. And I, through that, I always had an interest in wine, but by having the pub, it allowed me to get my qualifications. I went on to do my diploma in wine and also, source wine from all around the world. As a pub restaurant, it was quite easy to do. And I used to host theme nights, bring winemakers in from South Africa, Australia, all over, and do, food and wine matching and themed events. So it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. And then you left there and joined 3D Wines? Or
left there in 2007, just before things crashed from a restaurant point of view and economy in general. And then I joined as a buyer for 3D Wines. That's right. When David and Charles were still in charge.
And then you took the business
on. And then we took the business on, Sally and I, 4 years ago.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And how's it going? Is it going good or?
Going really well. I mean, this probably for you as well, Chris, you know, Brexit and all this uncertainty. For us, you know, because we're so focused on Europe, wines coming in from France, you know, the future is uncertain in terms of duty-free. You know, one of the big advantages is that if you go to France and collect the wine from the vineyard, or we have a store in Calais, you can nip over on a boat and collect, you know, you're not paying the duty, which, as you know, is a lot on a bottle of wine or champagne, sparkling. The future of that is uncertain. We really don't know whether there will be duty-free in the future. And moreover, the last two or three years, Calais has been really difficult as well because of the migrant issues, and made it difficult. So I'd say the last two or three years have been a bit turbulent.
Yeah.
But it's just starting to show the green shoots again this year, we're pleased to say. So it's, you know, hopefully we'll rally a little
bit. Turn the corner, so to speak.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay, and it's nice. So I suppose the old Calais trip, you know, the old booze cruise to Calais, you know, people used to go in Carrefour and just load up. And I've been guilty of that myself, coming back from holidays in France. And
it's tempting. Like,
well, I've always got to Calais and thought, well, how many children do I have to leave behind to get the wine I've ordered into the car?
Well, yeah, it's a good calculation. It's quite a few, I would say.
I've had a few trips where you can't go around corners too fast because the wine's going to topple over. And
Or buy yourself a big van or a truck.
I've got a 4x4, so it holds
there
a bit.
There you go. But you're a professional.
Okay. So let's get back into 3D wine. Yeah. So would you say your business is focused predominantly for the British market, looking at French, Italian, and a little bit of New Zealand?
Yeah, it is. And our customers, Chris, are very distinct in that they're normally retired, people that love food, they love travel, they love France. So the Francophiles. And, you know, we focus on small vineyards, family run, but towards a mid to high end in terms of quality. But we also like to champion some of the lesser appellations. You don't see a lot. So tonight we're going to be tasting Morange, for example,
which is
Morange is right in the southern tip of the Côte d'Or near Saint-Denis. Okay. Fantastic appellation. Oh, yeah. It became an appellation in 1989. It actually officially became an appellation. So when you think of Burgundy as 1,000 years old, it's really quite young. But lovely wine, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, a little bit of earthiness that you get around that tip of the Côte d'Or. Some of your Champigny, Bourgogne, San Nicola de Bourgogne. We champion lots of Beaujolais, Fleury, Côte de Brie, we're going to be tasting tonight, Morgon, lots of Southern Rhone, and then Burgundy, and Bordeaux as well. And the Bordeaux, we first started working with people in the right bank in Blaye and Côte de Bourg, which slightly lesser, but really good value wines. And we're going to be tasting a Monconseil Gazan Blaye 2010 tonight, which is fantastic, just beautiful.
Okay, and I've already seen a couple of wines. You call it Bourgogne, I call it Bouguet, but
Bourgogne.
Cabernet Franc, love it. And
do you like? Are you a fan of that?
Côte de Lion, I really, you know, for sweet wines, Côte de Lion.
Yeah.
Right up there with me.
Well, we've got a partner of ours. So we have lots of fantastic, very loyal partners. We have about 1,500 active partners who like to travel to France, come on our events. I mean, we've got 80 of them here tonight for our tasting. And one of them has donated, although we will pay him in wine of his choice, but he's donated a 1997 Côte de Léon, several bottles of, for us to taste at the end, which is delightful. And 20 years old, and we wanted to taste something a bit older,
a bit more mature.
And it's made by Domaine de la Motte, who are probably the leading Côte de Léon producers. And the amazing thing is, Chris, when he bought that, he actually collected it from the vineyard. He's been a partner for 2 decades. Partner being a member, we call them partners. He collected that from the vineyard in 1999. He'd have probably paid around 4 or 5 euros for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the most best value dessert wines. Everyone heard of Sauternes and they talk about Yquem. But if you think about the wines from the Loire, the dessert wines like Côte de Léon, they're just, you know, amazing value.
Yeah, really.
And, you know, undervalued.
Don't tell anybody, though.
we have to keep it quiet.
Yeah. So what you said that people can go to the vineyards in yes. France, and obviously you've got a roster of people you work with.
Yeah.
Is there any, and you have events in the UK like this where people can come
and France
along?
As well.
And France. What are the events where
Well, it go? Starts off in February with truffle hunting in the Rhone Valley. One of our vineyards, Domaine de Grand Duvert in Valréas in the southern Rhone Valley. They're the Bouchard brothers, so of Burgundy fame, Bouchard Père F.E. And they actually, when their estate was sold to Henriot Champagne in 1909, the brothers moved down. We were looking for an estate, and they found one in the southern Rhone. So they're now swapped. They've swapped Pinot Noir with Syrah and Mourvèdre and Grenache. So we work with them. They make a Côte d'Aron for us.
Oh, Côte d'Aron, not Vacarès.
Yeah, no, that's another vineyard we work with, Monterius. But so they make a Côte d'Aron for us, and they also have a truffle forest. So we go down with our members in February, and this year it's absolutely fabulous because the weather was like it is today, beautiful,
yeah, nice.
Very warm and spring-like. And we hunt truffles with dogs, and then we do some food and wine matching. One of them is a chef as well, so he helps us prepare the truffles for a grand dinner in the evening. And so it's, you know, it's not all
wine
related.
Do you always get truffles?
We've done it 5 years now, and every year we've found a minimum of 30 truffles.
Oh, okay.
This year they're quite small because it's been very dry, yep. But in other years we've found really big ones. And yeah. They're the black truffle, the Périgord truffle, they call it. It's confusingly, but it's in the Rhone, not Périgord. But yeah, and the dogs are amazing, and they used two dogs this year that worked in tandem, and it was amazing to see. And then we get the truffles, we clean them up with a toothbrush, slice them up, and then we infuse various, you know, eggs and cheeses and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And he brings a few out that he's had for a couple of weeks in the fridge in a Tupperware jar with eggs. And of course the infusion is with the egg through the eggshell over those 2 weeks. They call it canalizing, but basically it's an infusion.
Yeah.
So that when you make your your scrambled egg, you crack it open and it just tastes
of truffles. Okay. Oh, brilliant. So what other events do you do?
So we do champagne blending. For a day, you can go to one of our vineyards near Reims, and you can learn to be a chef de cave. So you can actually blend your own champagne, vintage, rosé or non-vintage style, and then you taste each other's champagnes and so on. It's great fun, and then we have a meal afterwards. The vigneron's wife is
fantastic.
But they'll
be flat, though. It's before you do the secondary fermentation, I presume.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he then brings out some of the finished articles from his work that he done, dating back to the 80s, and we taste lots of different champagnes. But yeah, it's to learn the art of blending, and of course, if you've ever done that, but I take part in blending one of our champagnes, and it's really interesting because it's very acidic, almost like really acidic apple juice, very apply, and 9 o'clock in the morning, it's stripping the enamel off your teeth. But it's really quite an interesting thing. You know, you've got Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and all the different locations. So it is really interesting. Yeah. And what you're imagining is how it's going to be in 3 years' time once it's gone through that secondary.
And all melded together, so to speak.
So we do that. We do picnicking in Bordeaux, in Burgundy, in Sancerre. We go down one of our vignerons in Saint Nicolas de Bourgogne in the Loire Valley. Has under her vines, she has this big carve with a fire, and she has a big table and literally under the vines, and that's fantastic. In one of their Tuffeau cellars, so we do lots of things, food and wine related, and they're mainly couples that come, you know, husband and wife or whatever. A lot of retired people, but you're getting younger people coming through now as well, and it's an experience, and the kind of experience that you don't forget.
It's the sort of experience that's hard to arrange yourself, and if you're on a tour, maybe you don't quite get that same quite of experience as well.
Yeah,
tours tend to just go from one winery to the next.
Yeah, once you've been to one or two wineries, you can only look at. I love barrels, but you can only go and look at barrels for so long.
There's only
vats
so much stainless steel you want to see.
There is indeed, and the story is more or less the same, isn't it? What is interesting is the people. I think they're all different characters. They're all very passionate and love what they do, and we meet them and we eat with them. You know, we dine in a 16th century chateau in Bordeaux, you know, with the whole family, and we bring out lots of old vintages, and the food and the wine are matched, and it's very informal. You know, the emphasis is really about having fun and something that's quite memorable to take away. And, you know, we get to see the area. And I think tourists, perhaps you go to Champagne and you get, at the end, you get a little, you know, plastic cup of champagne or whatever. Yeah. But you see what the guide will show you, and it's very impressive. But we get below that, you know, below the skin of an area, and go to areas you would not normally be able to go and see. So it's a privilege.
Yeah. And how does it work in terms of the, you know, the bottom line, so to speak? So you've got to be a member of the club.
Yep.
And you don't need to have own a row of vines these days, do you?
Or you do to join the club. Rent a row of vines, which is from £49 onwards.
Okay.
So that's your membership for the year.
Yep.
Most of our members, about 70%, are 5-year members, and they switch to different locations every year.
So does that mean you get a different? So you can rotate. Yeah. Does that mean you've got the option of buying 4 cases from different areas each?
I mean, that 4-case restriction that David and Charles had 25 years ago was there because there was a real restriction on the number of wine, you know, the amount of wine. But now it depends. For example, Burgundy, we just released our Burgundy offers this week. It went out yesterday. And as you know, in Burgundy, the quantities are very small. We're offering the 2015 vintage, which is fantastic, but not a lot of it. So people are restricted. You wouldn't even get 4 cases of some of the wine. It might even be less. So, you know, it depends on the season and harvest and...
Does that mean, I presume they must get some sort of discount, or how does it work?
Yeah.
You own a row of vineyards. You've paid for that row. You must have some sort of...
That's right. So if you go to the vineyard and collect, the price for the wine that you pay will always be less than the vineyard equivalent. So if it's an exclusive wine, which about half of our wines are exclusively made and blended. Part of the job I do is to blend with the vigneron, Côte de Rhones and Margaux, Champagne, and so on, Châteauneuf-du-Pape. So they're made just for our members. If you just rock up at the vineyard as a tourist and decide to buy an equivalent, you'll pay more. And for example, our Saint-Emilion, which is exclusively made for us from their little clos in front of the vineyard, very close to the town, it's roughly €22. At the vineyard, it's about €35 a bottle, the equivalent. So you're saving an awful lot per bottle. There's an extreme example, but you are always making a saving.
Yeah,
sometimes it's small, sometimes it's a lot more.
And I presume the experiences, they're like an extra cost on top as well?
Well, for our events, what we say is that you get to the destination, the hotel that we're based in, and then we organise everything else. So we take people round and go to the vineyards and do all the food stuff, you know, going to the restaurants and so on, and the tours. So we organise all of that, but they have to get themselves to the region.
Mm-hmm.
That's an extra cost, of course. That's part of the event. If they just want to go in their holiday, you know, as a couple, go and visit their vineyard, we help organise that. And again, there is a cost for them. But remember, if they order, you know, if they're buying 4 cases of wine, they're saving £133 on duty for still wine.
Yeah.
So you could say, well, that goes towards fuel costs or a night in it.
Yeah, but also if you are a Francophile, then you're likely to be in France regularly anyway. So
you're right.
And you know, if you can rotate your vineyard, then why not spend a week in Loire and then next year go to Burgundy and go to whatever it is?
Absolutely. Yeah, these people are passionate about France. And, you know, when I first joined, Chris, in 2007, I'd just come back from a tour of New Zealand with New Zealand wine growers. Went top to bottom, really, in 15 days. I think we visited 3 vineyards a day. But incredible, and I was so taken by it. I managed to convince the owner then, David, that we should branch out into New Zealand to try and attract perhaps a slightly younger element and add a bit of diversity to what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gone very well. We have a vineyard in Nelson called Kaharangi Estate.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a vineyard in Waiheke Island called Kennedy Point that we work with. And, of course, you can't just rock up the vineyard and fill your boot with wine, but we bring a shipment over once a year in the autumn.
Okay.
And then the winemakers come over for a dinner, usually at the Bleeding Heart restaurant, where we have a winemaker's dinner and they can taste the new vintages with the winemaker. So we do that every year. And also Tuscany, the same sort of idea. We brought in Tuscany 3 years ago, and we do an event, olive picking in the autumn in Tuscany. And just fantastic, right in the heart of the Classico region.
Yeah.
So the hilly part. And I have to say, you know, you've traveled and visited vineyards around the world. They're usually located in beautiful places. Most vineyards I've ever been to are gorgeous places. But I have to say, I'm not found one yet as a region that tops the Chianti Tuscany region. Just stunning.
Yeah, I actually haven't been to Tuscany.
Ah, well, there you
go. I've been in Umbria and sort of on that south end of Tuscany, and I've been to Barolo above it, but I've never been to that chunk.
You need
of
to
it.
Get there. Yeah. It's exquisite. And it's between Florence and Siena, and we work with three vineyards, small, medium, and large. And the big one is Rocca della Macchia, which is quite famous. And it's right in the heart, right in the center between Florence and Siena, in a very hilly part. So it's high up, and they have a relay hotel complex with a swimming pool and restaurant and everything. And then we stay there in the autumn, and they're surrounded by olive trees, and the harvest is taking place. They've got an olive mill next door, and we literally taste the olive.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, brilliant. You said at the beginning that you're a bit nervous about Brexit, and obviously Brexit means lots of things for Britain, but one of the things that the government wants is to encourage, obviously, people to export. Is your business model something that you think will transfer to another country? Not just as a wine-producing country to add on, like you've done with Tuscany and New Zealand, but as targeting the consumer, so to speak?
Good question, and I think the answer is yes, because already in the last year, we've targeted the US. Mm-hmm. The exchange rate is fantastic, so French wines have never been better value to the Americans. And the Americans are touring, you know, despite all the atrocities that have happened in the last year in Europe. Americans are still traveling in good number.
Yep.
And they're coming to France, and they want to see these, really interesting, like Saint-Emilion places, Margaux and Chateauneuf-du-Pape, all these great names, Sancerre, that have resonance over there. So we're seeing more and more Americans. And so we're now working with a partner. He's based in California, San Rafael, importing wine over there. And so we're doing the vine rental concept in the US. Early days yet, but we think that's going to be a real positive boost.
Fantastic. Just before we finish up, what are you looking forward to tasting tonight? Or what should I be looking forward to tasting tonight?
Well, we do a tasting in London twice a year. This is our spring tasting. And it's a retrospective. So because it's our 25th year, we're looking back at some of the vineyards we started working with from 1992 onwards. So tonight you've got a Champagne, which is a Grand Cru Blanc de Blanc vintage, 2004. That's the opening wine, which is really nicely evolved and interesting, bready, brioche-y sort of thing. We've got a Riesling, if you like Riesling.
Yeah.
Lovely, quite
German
involved.
Alsace.
Oh, yeah. Right on the border. Almost German. And at times in the history, it has been German, but no. At the moment, it's French. Pouilly Fuissé, from an exclusive wine from a small vineyard by the rock of Solutré.
The big limestone one.
That's it. Yeah. Côte de Bruy, which is from Beaujolais, a Cru Beaujolais. That is just lovely, from 2010. Great vintage. Gevry Chambertin, from one of our exclusive vineyards. That's 2014. That? No, it's not old. It's a young one, very young, but it's lovely, very fragrant. Domaine Jacob, and they make lovely, pure-fruited, fragrant Pinot Noirs. The Morange, that's one I think you'd be really interested in, because you've not tasted that before.
No.
Really lovely. 2011, a little bit evolved, but quite earthy as well. Beautiful. Sommelier Champigny, an exclusive wine called Les Trois Jeunes to us, 2010. Great Loire vintage. And that's got that lovely, slightly bit of violet, but also dark chocolate, graphite, all the, quite floral. Beautiful. Blye Grand Reserve, 2010. Again, an exclusive wine to us. That's on the right bank of Bordeaux.
Yep.
And that's showing lots of balsamic and toasty notes and, you know, really big wine, 2010. Gigondas from Monterius, biodynamic wine. And by the way, it's a fruit day in the Biodynamic Canada today, which means we're spot on.
I'm not really a big biodynamic guy.
Well, I'm going to convince you by the end of the night. And then Coteau de Leon, which is the 97, de la Motte. So I would say, the Morange is going to be interesting, because you'll be able to compare and contrast with the Gevry Chambertin. The Saumur, because it's just absolutely lovely at its peak right now, and the Blye. And then to finish with the Coteau de Leon, if you like a bit of sweet.
Yeah, sounds great. All right, well, let's get in there.
Let's get in there. Yeah.
Cheers very much.
Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Cheers, bud.
Thank you.